Peace be with you. This is Voice of the Shepherd, a 10-minute message brought to you by Bethany Lutheran Church in the town of Easton. I'm Pastor Stephen Jurdy. What does love look like, and how do we experience love in the church? Those are two questions that we'll consider as we continue our Bible study in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians was a book written by St. Paul to the church in Thessalonica, early in his ministry. In fact, it is the earliest, or at least one of the earliest, writings of the New Testament that we have. Last week, Pastor Johnson brought you through verse 12 of chapter 2, and so we continue at verse 13, remembering to ask ourselves, how does this passage answer the question, what does love look like? And how do we experience love in the church? Beginning at verse 13 in chapter 2, we read the following. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out, and displease God and oppose all mankind, by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But God's wrath has come upon them at last. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We ended at verse 19 in chapter 2, the end of that chapter. So what does this passage, verses 13 through 19, tell us about love, how it looks, and how we experience it in the church? Well, the very first thing it begins to talk about in verses 13 and 14 is the Word of God and how the people of the church in Thessalonica received the Word of God as it really is, not a word of men, but as a word from God. Love includes communication, speaking honest words, one person to another. And in the church, that love flows freely as God speaks to us in His holy word. His word is actually spoken in the church, not just thought about, not just imagined, but He actually sends preachers to speak the words He wants spoken to the world. When the church says, I forgive you in the name of Jesus Christ, or repent and believe in Jesus Christ, that's not a message that men have dreamed up. That is a message that comes from the Lord Himself. As someone once said, if I were to think of up a message, I probably wouldn't think up a message that gave people the opportunity to repent or that included a message of forgiveness. I might think of a message more likely that includes vengeance. And we see that daily in our society as people refuse to forgive and to hold people responsible to sins long past. But not in the church. In the church, God speaks a unique, new word, a word of forgiveness and the possibility of repentance and amendment of life, the possibility of reconciliation because He has reconciled the world to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His death on the cross. And so love in the church includes this direct communication from God, a word that He permits mere humans to speak in His name and invites us to believe as His own true word. But then love also includes imitation. In verse 14, St. Paul said, "For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews." We all know when we look at families that those who love each other often imitate each other. Children imitate their parents. And we're told that one reason why couples who live together for a very long time in that blessed estate of marriage often end up looking like each other more and more because they tend to mimic each other's emotions. When one smiles, the other smiles, and when one is sad, the other is sad. And so they tend to get the same laugh lines or the same creases in their face over time. A fascinating little insight of researchers into how couples interact with each other. Imitation is part of love. We imitate those whom we love, and we especially imitate them in their sufferings. That is, we join them in their sufferings, we suffer with them, and we share in those same hardships that they endure, just as the churches of Thessalonica did with the churches of Judea. They shared in that suffering for the name of Jesus. In each of these two aspects of love, that communication of the Word of God and that fellow suffering with other believers, we are seeing the love of Christ lived out in the church. For Christ came to love us first by preaching good news and second by suffering for us. But then there is still more to say. In verse 17, Paul begins to speak very kindly and tenderly with the people in Thessalonica. He says, "We were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time in person, but not in heart. We endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face." Love includes not only desire, but also being present with one another. It's one thing to feel love. It's another thing to act upon love. Love gathers people together, face to face. And so it affects both the heart and the body. What the heart feels, the body seeks to act out. In the church, we long to be together. We long to be in the assembly of the saints, to join with other believers in hearing that word of God and bearing one another's burdens. It isn't always an easy calling. But then love isn't always easy. Love led Jesus to carry a cross for us. Love leads God to continue to abide with us and to bear with us, even in our sin, for the sake of His Son. And then finally, love includes hope. For St. Paul says in the final verse, verse 19, "What is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at His coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy." Love always includes some kind of hope for the future, some kind of life lived together. St. Paul hopes for the day when Jesus will come again and when those who have trusted Him will be crowned with glory and honor. And he, as an apostle, will be crowned with the glory of and honor of seeing his listeners received into the joy of Christ and the new creation. That's part of the love of the church, to live eagerly and expectantly for Jesus, and to look upon one another in the church, even with all of our sins and all of our hardships, as part of the joy and glory of that future, and to long for not only ourselves to inherit the future of Christ, but for others to inherit that future too. We live to see each other in the resurrection. We live to see others besides ourselves enjoy the blessings and consolations of the gospel. For that is how God lives also. He lives for us and for His creation. And so how can we do otherwise? And that's this week's Voice of the Shepherd, brought to you by Bethany Lutheran Church in the town of Easton. Bethany worships each Sunday at 10:30 a.m. on Church Road, and you are invited to join us there or online through Facebook. In the meantime, God's peace be with you.